Mid-season, what do we know? Maybe things we already knew. This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. Brandon Legal Group is your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. If you are an adult male residing in the state of Florida and you continue to pay permanent alimony, you are throwing away money. Permanent alimony has not been law in the state of Florida since July 1st, 2023. Brandon Legal Group can help you reduce or eliminate, potentially, your financial obligation going forward. 813-902-3576. That's just one of a number of things that are covered by them being a full-service law firm. For a free consult on whatever your legal need is, visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. Pin Chasers for bowling, food, and fun. Just the other day, one of my very loyal golfers and a former podcast league fantasy football champion reached out to me because he wanted to use a Pin Chasers party certificate that he had won at one of my Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments. And anytime I have someone win those, I say, please reach out to me because I want to help coordinate getting you in touch with the Peroni family to set up your event. And that's what we are doing for December for our friend Rob's birthday. And I know the Peroni family will take good care of him with this certificate for a bowling party. If you have interest in a bowling party coming up for the holiday weeks, or in the case of similar to Rob, a birthday or some other office occasion, reach out to pinchasers.net. You can do lane reservations there. You can start the party planning there. Follow them on Instagram for regular updates on so many of their nightly specials on food, beverage, bowling. Remember, you never pay to rent shoes at Pin Chasers. Never pay to rent shoes. That's the equivalent of, basically, going to a restaurant and getting a free appetizer. Not just getting the appetizer and leaving, but if you knew you were going to go out to dinner and buy two entrees, and I said, the cost of the appetizer, they're going to waive that. So enjoy your appetizer. It's the same thing with Pin Chasers. You know you're going to pay for the bowling, but unlike so many places that charge you to rent the shoes, Pin Chasers does not. Four locations in the greater Tampa Bay area. Visit pinchasers.net. Follow them on social media. They are at Pin Chasers on Instagram and very active there. My email is write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. This is sports intensive. Thank you for listening, or if you chose to pass on the previous edition of the Todd Wright Toddcast, I'm fine with that. I want to be there for what you want to hear. I'm going to do what I want. You use me, listen as you see fit. We are at mid-season of the National Football League run in 2024. First off the top, two head coaches have been fired, and I think it's fair to say three others are squarely in the crosshairs as we look at whether or not their teams will make a change later this year or at the end of the year looking ahead to next year. It's not exclusive to just three, but there is a common denominator, and if you know anything about what I have talked about for years, about why head coaches fail, a significant percentage, a trend on certain head coaches that fail to reach Super Bowls, you're about to hear it again. So, first head coach fired was Robert Saleh of the New York Jets. Second head coach to be fired, Dennis Allen of the New Orleans Saints. Three other head coaches who have done any of the following: disappointed, mismanaged games, left players in for no good reason, changed members of their coaching staff. Chicago, Tampa Bay, Las Vegas. All five of the teams I just mentioned, New York Jets, New Orleans Saints, Las Vegas Raiders, Chicago Bears, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, have head coaches known for their defensive prowess that, as far as any of us know, stay mostly or completely out of all offensive decisions. It doesn't win in this NFL. It fails. The last head coach to make a Super Bowl who stayed out of the offensive decision-making was Dan Quinn, ironically, and we're talking about him as a Coach of the Year candidate in his first year with Washington. Helps to have Jaden Daniels, but Quinn should get some credit. So we have had Super Bowl 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, all with participants and the winner who were head coaches either of offensive background or, in the case of the only one who had a defensive background, Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick evolved as a head coach after winning his first three. He was already very good on special teams, but he got more involved with offense, and that helped him win three more, including Super Bowl 53 against the Rams. And if you don't think Belichick was involved with offense, you need to get a little more knowledgeable, since you're not taking my word for it. So again, Jets fire Sala, not involved in offense. Saints fire Allen, not involved in offense. Bucks disappointing. Bulls, not involved in offense. Raiders, messy, changing coaching staff already, not involved in offense, is Pierce. And Eberflus, he's got players doing meetings on offense that he's not involved with. He's got players who go out of bounds and don't run back into plays. He's got a number one pick at quarterback, and he's not involved in the offense. Don't fight the trend. Just go with the trend. Now, there are some offensive background head coaches who aren't doing a good job this year, but I just gave you five. Two already fired. Three of the three others, you can make a case all three will be fired at the end of the year if things don't change. I'll make a case at least one, probably two. I think Bowles is back in 2025, but we've got time to talk about that going forward. So if you remember, not only did I sort of spotlight coaches that I thought might be coaching their last year with their particular NFL franchise before we started the season, but I also did my annual postseason preview where I said, here are your playoff teams, in my opinion. And I even said, this might be your Super Bowl. If you didn't listen to that podcast, why don't you go back and listen to it? Or you can just take my word for it based on how we play off the standings today. Recording this before the week 10 begins officially between the Ravens and the Bengals, both two teams I said would. I had them both in, didn't I? Yeah, I did. One, two. Yes, I had them both in. So I'll go by division. Let's go ahead and go AFC North first. So prior to any Week 10 games being played, there are the Steelers at 6-2, Ravens at 6-3, Bengals 4-5, Cleveland 2-7. The only one of those four teams I threw out that I said wasn't postseason worthy was the Browns. Halfway through the season, they're the only one you can throw out. And if you, for some reason, bet against Mike Tomlin this year, you are really, really ignorant based on his history of regular season success and having a winning record. and or not having a losing record, because we've gone from a 16-game season to a 17-game season. In the AFC South, I said the Texans would win the division. I also wondered about their growing pains. I wonder how they would deal with adversity. It's not easy to take that second step. The Jaguars experienced that. The Texans are experiencing that. But right now, I look at the AFC South and I still see a Texans team that's better than everybody else. One team comes from this division to make the playoffs. I stand by my Texans pick. AFC West, I said the Chiefs would lose the Super Bowl this year. But I also said the Chargers could sneak in as the last wild card team. So I stand behind that. They're sitting there at 5-3. They play very efficient football. I haven't spent a lot of time watching Charger football. Not much of it has been, available nationally in primetime games or late 4 o'clock games or featured 1 o'clock games. But you knew Harbaugh would put something together that would look the part, and it would only get better as time went on. And that's what they have going. Broncos are better than I thought. Sean Payton needed this. Bo Nix has meant a lot. The play of the defense has been extremely good. Now, that said, as good as the Bronco defense has been, don't sleep on the fact that, admittedly, with one less game, the Chargers have given up 60 fewer points for the season than the Broncos. So that Charger defense is part of the reason the Chargers are ahead of the Broncos in the pecking order, even with one last game. And then the Raiders are lousy. AFC East, I don't know why so many out there wrote off the Bills this year, wrote off Josh Allen this year. Look, and I'm the guy who doesn't like head coaches with defensive backgrounds. I think McDermott is part of the reason the Bills have had this ceiling. I think there are a few reasons. Another is can't get by Patrick Mahomes. If you follow the NBA in the 90s, how many great players didn't win an NBA title because they couldn't get by Michael Jordan and the Bulls? Right now, that's Josh Allen and the Bills, because they can't get by Mahomes and the Chiefs. But I don't think McDermott helps. But I think McDermott does have more qualities beyond just being defensive over offensive in terms of his experience. He gets Josh Allen and some others out of the game when there's no reason for them to be out there. He does. He did it in week two. He did it in week three. Where other coaches would say, well, our starters are our starters, and we play 60 minutes. It's the kind of thinking that gets you fired. And I didn't see the Dolphins or the Jets being anything worthwhile. And they haven't been. So AFC, I feel pretty good about what I gave you at the beginning of the season. The only thing, the Bengals are running a little later than expected, but that's kind of, they're a slow starting team. The Burrow numbers are strong. I've always had a Khalil Herbert man crush, so I'm fighting that he's going to be a significant factor for this offense. At some point going forward, I thought the Colts would be a little bit better. And I didn't realize the Titans would be so bad. I knew they'd be bad because it's an evaluation year. NFC, I did have the Bucs over Falcons, but I thought the Falcons could be in the mix for a playoff spot. It's the other way around. And this is where I isolate some of you who are Bucks fans and how hypocritical you are. Because if your Buccaneers had beaten the Falcons twice this year, I would have heard every day in the city of Tampa, on radio, on podcast, on television, ripping the quote, "Everybody picked Atlanta to win this division." So why aren't you talking now that everybody was right? Hypocrites. You're just kind of turtling up. Oh, they were right. I don't get to make fun of them. And even I thought the Bucks would be better than the Falcons. They're not. The Bucks are going to have to fight for their life to get in the postseason against in winnable games, many winnable games the second half of the season, with a quarterback doing a lot of good things and an offensive coordinator doing a lot of good things. But Todd Bowles and Antoine Winfield are not doing good things. And injuries to your top two receivers also make it very difficult. So Falcons, better than I thought. I had them as, if you remember when I did that podcast, I had Falcons or Vikings as last team in. And I kind of left it at that and said, go ahead and make fun of me. But I believe in the head coach quarterback combination in Minnesota. And that there was enough with defense and Justin Jefferson and Aaron Jones having enough left that they would be valid. And they've been more than valid. So the other teams in the North had the Lions as good. Didn't think the Packers were Super Bowl material, but thought they were playoff material. Still one of the youngest teams in the NFL. I said they're going to, still like the Texans, there's going to be growing pains here. Just have to go with it. It's not going to look right at some times. And you're going to wonder what's wrong. It's because you want to advance them further than their learning curve. So I like LaFleur and Love the way I like D'Amico and Stroud in Houston. The amazing thing in Houston, going back to the Texans, is how much of this is Joe Mixon. Because Stroud's having a rougher time. And Stroud's lost his top two receivers, just like Baker Mayfield. But I threw out the Bears, Eberflus factor, and I was right to throw that out. I didn't have the Saints as a factor. They haven't been. Told you the Cowboys were a lost season. Don't need to spend any more time on that. Didn't think highly of the Giants. No reason to. The Commanders, as much as I put my faith in Jaden Daniels for fantasy purposes and thought he'd be quite good. No, I didn't have them being 7-2. I had the Eagles winning this division, and that was it for playoff teams. So that one, I didn't see. I thought the Commanders would be kind of a six-win team where everybody came away from it saying, boy, that Jaden Daniels is going to be really good. Well, they're already a 7-win team, and people are saying that Jaden Daniels is good. So I didn't have that. And then in the NFC West, flat out, I threw out Seattle and Arizona, both defensive head coaches. One I like more than the other, but I just didn't see enough going right there. And I said, Rams over 49ers, because I think Rams can beat 49ers head-to-head, which they've already done once this year. This division, everyone is either 5-4, 4-4, 4-5. So it can go a lot of different ways. But this is also like the Bengals traditionally make a push mid-season and late, so do the Niners. But the Rams have held it together. Apparently McVay had to walk in some offices of the Rams facility and say, are you out of your mind thinking of trading Cooper Kupp? And Cooper's still there. And Stafford's still there. And in the division race and for the playoffs, the Rams are still there. Remember, they finished the season strong last year, lost a very competitive first-round playoff game to the Lions. No shame in that. So I still ultimately think it comes down to Rams and 49ers, and I had them both getting in. In the end, the NFC West may only get one team, and or the Bucs may not get in, and that allows the Commanders to get in if they finish the job. And if a Kingsbury coached team slash coached offense can actually put up decent second half numbers against traditional Cliff Kingsbury resume. What did you think going into the season? So I'm admitting I had a lot of stuff right, but I'm admitting what I didn't have right through the first half of the season. I didn't have the Falcons ahead of the Bucs. I didn't have the Commanders as a 7-win team. I didn't think the Broncos would be in the mix for a wild card. And I had the Bengals being a little bit better. I thought Flacco would play more games by this point, but you see where I was going with the Colts struggling because of Anthony Richardson. Wright.Todd@yahoo.com, Wright.Todd@yahoo.com. I apologize for the coughing. Still getting over a cold. It's been one hell of a last month. Thanks for the well wishes. I think I'm doing better. We'll see. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Pin Chasers and Brandon Legal Group. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time.